Let's talk about something that's we can now talk about freely, and I suppose that's probably the one thing we can thank Jimmy Savile for. Because the tipping point in 2012 of child abuse is down to Savile. 500, possibly more, victims of Savile empowered many people to come forward and talk about historic child abuse. That historic child abuse has consequences for many who have been victims of abuse as children. But what support is there out there for them? Well, there isn't much, but there is an organisation, a project in Southmead that helps those come to terms with their abuse and the consequences of that abuse, which can be drug, alcohol, abusive relationships themselves. And the founder of that project is Dr. Mike Pearce. He's with me here live in the studio. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Now, you've been, and we were just talking through Whitesnake there, you've been, I'm using your words here, banging on about this for 20 years.
Yeah.
Is Savile the tipping point?
I think in many respects it was a kind of catalyst where people have been contemplating disclosing their abuse. Savile, in a way, or what happened there, gave that permission to people to say, that's happened to me. And essentially, too, where it would appear, so those people are being believed, that again gives confirmation to people who were abused themselves that other people care about them, and they are in effect being given a voice. It's not strong enough yet, but it is growing for sure.
Why did you set it up 20 years ago? Why did you set up the Southmead project 20 years ago?
Yeah, and, well, initially I was asked if because what was termed as an epidemic of heroin use in the area by Dr. Will Warren at the time. I was asked by some people who lived in Savile, because I'm from the area myself and grew up there and all the rest of it. I was asked to set up a project which would deal with the drug problem or help deal with the drug problem. Well, I argued that as well as the drug problem, which is the presenting problem, there may well be underlying this other issues, particularly abuse and all the rest of it, which was the case, has been proven over the years, yeah.
So your background is what, then? Prior to that, what were you doing?
Oh, blimey, I was doing loads of things. I set off as an apprentice, first of all, in the pipe fitting trade and so on. Successfully completed that. And then went into various areas of work myself. So I worked on the First Severn Bridge and all those kind of things, big construction stuff. And then bought and sold houses quite successfully, actually.
Right.
But it was during that process, around about towards the end of the 80s, when it looked as though there was going to be a severe recession. And I said to my wife, I either become completely ruthless in business or I drop out. And she said, what do you want to do? I said, I'd like to drop out. But and quite amazingly, there's so many coincidences in my life, but I saw an advert then for drug workers in Wales and Somerset. And as I'd battled against addiction myself...
sort of addiction?
Well, it was loads of drugs of all different types at that time, mainly pills, actually, John, because that was the era, you know...
Uppers and poppers and...
You name them, yeah, whatever was around, really, at that time. But loads of prescribed stuff. I could probably fill wheelbarrows with, the stuff I had, and subsequently built up tolerance and so on. And it was the kind of turning point for me was the fact that I'd grown so tolerant with drugs, alcohol, and all the rest of it. None of it was working. I hadn't looked at the reasons why, perhaps, I wanted to blot out my mind. But I was abused as a child, and that was in effect. Was a rudder for me. That was my. I was being steered by the memory of such and the awfulness of those occasions, and subsequently the drugs did work for a while. But like the verb says, they don't work in the end.
Well, yeah, and isn't that a great album? So that's what it was. But you didn't know that. So you were taking all these pills. You were functioning. You were successful.
Yeah.
You were doing all the things that you were doing, and you hadn't worked out that. You were taking drugs because you were abused as a child and you were trying to kill the pain?
No,
is that what you were doing?
Most certainly. I mean, make no mistake, they do work. That's why I said at the event the other day, maybe talking therapies might be prescribed far more than tranquilizers. Mm. I do believe that.
But that wasn't around in the 80s, though, was it?
Really? No, it wasn't.
No.
There was nothing. When I was taking off the drugs, it was all the drugs and all the booze at the same time. There was nothing. And I was 3 years then trying to battle it's agoraphobia, claustrophobia, panic attacks, nightmares, all the rest of it. Because what began to happen was the flashbacks and memories began to really affect me enormously. And I had a GP, Dr. Jeffrey, who's a lovely guy who I would see once a week for an hour. And he'd had counseling training, and he was effectively very, very good. And he listened to what I had to say. But I didn't ever disclose abuse. I was never asked, Mike, you know, why are you like this?
And when was the first time you actually said those words out loud?
Well, it's quite strange, really. What happened? I overcome my addiction, and I thought I was up together then. I thought, hey, I'm Jack the Lag, I'm fine. I went on a counselling course to the UWE very early 90, about 1990, and during the course of that, I began to feel uncomfortable, began to feel kind of not okay, because you're in a kind of a client mode, if you like, and they encourage the students to talk with one another and find, you know, be able to disclose things about yourself, which is the counselling training. And I began to feel a bit uncomfortable, but I passed the exam and all the rest of it, wonderful, got on fine, so I'm a counsellor now. Mm-hmm. And I was quite well thought of, apparently, because NSPCC were setting up an adult counselling service for parents who'd been abused as children and who couldn't emotionally connect with their children, which, as we know now, is quite likely, or very often this happens. So I went to train with NSPCC. I got on great with the training, and I got on okay with the work. And then one day, a guy came who and I started to work with him as his counsellor. And him and I might as well have been in the same house together as kids. He pressed every button I had. The problems I faced, they were so similar. And it was a real struggle for me to work with that guy, and in my supervision, ultimately, I said, I can't do that. And then that led me on the long road to proper full recovery as a client.
This is a member of your family that did this to you, or was it at somebody?
There were inside family and outside on two occasions, on different occasions rather. So, And prior to that, I mean, my birth had been a very traumatic experience because my mother had been brutally beaten in pregnancy, and I was then lucky to be alive, apparently. And so was my mum. And so I learned from a very early age, certainly domestic abuse as well. Mm. And I was placed with an aunt for a while and then returned home. But the abuse didn't stop, frankly.
Let me ask you a couple. We'll take a pause for a piece of music because I want to talk about the work that you do with the Southmead Project. And I know there was a big conference in Bristol that was attended by Kerry McCarthy MP, Charlotte Leslie MP, and Ian McFadyen, who's been a guest on this programme a couple of times, talking about that and trying to get this subject out there and trying to say it is okay to talk about this. How bad do you think this problem is? I mean, we're calling, you know, the story I started with, 50,000 people, they reckon, are involved in sharing of images of children. And, of course, you could say, well, they're only looking at pictures. Well, those pictures are of children who've been abused. I'm sorry I'm going to fall off the impartiality fence on the BBC here, but those are pictures of children who've been abused.
Yep.
Looking at them doesn't make it okay.
Absolutely not.
So, absolutely
ludicrous.
So how big is this problem?
Well, I think, John, it's the same amount of children suggested face abuse every year. Who report or who are reported and so on, those events. So, and that's for the ones who are found out and so on. So it is an enormous problem.
Is it bigger now because of the internet than it perhaps was when you were being abused?
I don't know, because I was abused as a kid, and it might well be that many of my friends, I certainly know with one guy there, that there was a crowd of us youngsters who were with him regularly. So, I wouldn't know, frankly, but all I do know is that Southmead Project are always oversubscribed for clients. We don't ever advertise.